Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
You okay today?
Yeah, I'm very well, actually.
Is Uncle Barclay working from home at the moment, or is he going to Barclay's Towers just to make sure that things are ticking along okay?
I think it's a mixture, to be honest with you. A slow repatriation back to the office is taking place slowly but surely, but in a controlled fashion.
Very slow, as far as you're concerned. Will you ever go there again?
Many people don't want me to come there again, but I think I will.
Have you put Potts Towers on the market yet, or...?
not yet, but housing market doing very well. The stamp duty holiday, of course, is encouraging the market quite nicely. So if you are thinking of getting out, now's not a bad time.
Yes, although it's, doesn't really work in your favour because most people want to move out of London, not into it.
London will still be a very attractive place to be, so happy to provide you with accommodation if required.
Really? Okay, thank you very much. Can I have that in writing?
No.
Make sure the fridge is full. Markets, negative day on Wall Street on Friday. There's no action today because of Labour Day, but we were sailing on the crest of a wave, but the last couple of days weren't too great.
Yeah, it was a tale of two markets, really, last week. At the start of the week, remember the aggressive rally in technology stocks pushed equity indexes once again up to record levels. No better example of that, of course, on Tuesday when Apple's valuation at $2.3 trillion, eclipsing the entire value of the FTSE 100. However, as the week drew to a conclusion, investors finally took a dose of reality by taking some profits off the table in what has been widely regarded as an overbought market. In terms of the scale of the drawdown, the Nasdaq tumbled 6.4% over Thursday and Friday. By the end of the week, Apple's share price was 10% off Tuesday's record high. Tesla were in bear market territory, down 22%. Although we should note the Nasdaq is still up 66% since March the 23rd, with more than $6 trillion added to mega cap shares in 5 months. S&P 500, of course, heavily weighted towards the likes of Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, was down 2.3% last week, though losses were partly offset by gains in the banking sector, which was up for a fourth week in five. I think the pullback should be seen as a natural consolidation rather than the start of a more fundamental re-evaluation of the technology sector. But as we've been saying for some time, this is no time to be complacent about valuations, the recovery, or potential risk that could destabilize sentiment. Therefore, investors should continue to focus on investing in quality businesses while protecting gains and diversifying risk.
Okay, better talk about Brexit, hit with a bombshell in the early hours this morning with the British government planning to override a key part of the withdrawal agreement. What on earth is going on?
Yeah, further signs the EU-UK trade negotiations are struggling to make the progress required despite that clock ticking down at a rapid rate. Revealed in the Financial Times, the government is planning new legislation that would override key elements of the Brexit withdrawal agreement. On Wednesday, the Internal Market Bill is due to be published. That would eliminate the legal force, apparently, of the withdrawal agreement in some key areas, including the likes of state aid, the Northern Ireland Protocol. The bill would effectively, I guess, pit UK laws against its obligations agreed as part of the withdrawal agreement. So, set to be somewhat of a miserable showdown between EU and UK officials once again as they try to come to an agreement on the future trading relationship.
I don't think that the UK side is going to get any joy whatsoever out of Michel Barnier, is it?
It's hard to say. Listen, it's always negative until the 11th hour when we've seen on many occasions something happens, the deal can be achieved. It may not be the full deal that many people had hoped. In fact, it's likely to be a very skinny deal that, of course, prioritises goods. But that can then be built on as you look through 2021. So despite the negative mood music, I don't think we can give up on hope of some form of agreement before the time required.
But if the Internal Market Bill passes onto the statute book, what that effectively means is a hard border on the island of Ireland, which goes against the Good Friday Agreement.
Yeah, it does, and that's a very politically sensitive arrangement that's been put in place. And of course, we know that tensions in that part of the world run very high. Anything that exacerbates that is clearly something they would try to avoid. So you would imagine they've been thinking about this and trying to understand the best way to deal with it. Boris Johnson has made some assurances around that, but it still remains difficult to come to a conclusion on what, as I say, is a very difficult concept.
Well, the early reaction from Brussels has been more than negative, and also a lot of UK businesses are hopping up and down because they just want clarification.
Yeah, they do want clarification. You know, clearly, a no-deal Brexit would have significant ramifications for businesses, increased costs, increased complexity, perhaps a radical shake-up in terms of their business models. They start to deal with trade barriers, talent pool restrictions. They would be limited or prohibited from selling certain products and services into the European Union. Diverging regulatory environment poses a major problem as companies try to operate across the two different regions. So there's a range of factors that many companies will need to deal with if indeed we get to that point of a no-deal Brexit. But clarity is absolutely vital at this stage to make sure that they're able to make the correct preparations.
Well, time is running out, and the big question is, can the UK economy stand the double hits of the COVID-19 pandemic and a no-deal Brexit coupled together?
It's certainly not an ideal scenario, of course, but by any means, but sovereignty is certainly a element that the government appears to believe is a price worth paying for, despite the potential negative economic hits, alongside, of course, the economy that's already been struggling. We know that no deal Brexit would mean lower levels of household consumption, of consumer confidence, of business investment, and higher precautionary savings, probably all of which would have, as you say, negative ramifications for the UK's growth prospects.
Well, this word sovereignty is bandied around an awful lot, but I mean, if you sign a trade agreement with any nation, you have to yield some form of sovereignty. The Americans, if they sign a free trade deal with the UK, are going to demand certain concessions, and that would go for any big economy such as China as well.
Yep, all deals, there's an element of compromise coming through. The concern is, of course, that the UK would be significantly weakened as we've gone through this process. That means negotiating from that perspective would actually put them in a tough position. We should also recognise, yes, it does give the UK freedom to go out and do its own trade agreements, but the Europe will continue to be the UK's most significant trading partner. In 2019, 43% of UK exports went to the European Union. It's the biggest market, and we need to stay close to it.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.32 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.18. You can get just under €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Bob.